Counselor, Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors is excused. Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City Staff Justin Johnson, City Manager Ashley Coronado, City Clerk Sharon Bono, Finance Director Albert E. Chavez, Police Chief Tom Kleiman, Public Works Director Aldo Orduño, City Clerk, City Attorney, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you very much. For the invocation, let us turn our thoughts to those who have perished in India from the massive heat wave there. Over 2,000 people have perished. And so for those victims, let's have a moment of silence. Thank you. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I just have, we have two announcements tonight. The first one is, as per the Public Works Director's request and without objection from the Council, of course, I'm going to pull item 5 from the agenda. The second announcement, I'm going to defer to Council Member Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein.
I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to once again thank our fire department for an outstanding job on Saturday with the fire that was in Ward 3 on the corner of Boris and Nighthawk. It was, the call went out about 4:30 and they were on scene until about 11:30 that night. It again flared up about 1 o'clock or so that the following morning, so they were there until a little bit after 3. So they did, again, a fantastic job, and I would like to thank them all for all their hard work. I would also like to thank Bisbee Police Department for being out there and staying on scene as well as Naco Fire and Palominas Fire for their assistance. You know, you just never know, and I guess I wouldn't have known that there was a fire if it wasn't down the street, because we weren't notified by anybody from the city, but you know, we could see the flames. Shirley and I could see the flames and the smoke and everything from our houses. It was just a few doors down. But again, tremendous job. And, you know, once again, they came to our rescue and kept it from spreading. And they did just a tremendous job. And I know they're, you know, they were exhausted at the end of it. But again, thank you. We have some very happy neighbors. Again, job well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will go to call to the public. We have a few people signed up. We'll start off with Eric Farner.
Eric Farner, 609 Bisbee Road. Mayor, Council, you got a haircut. You clean up pretty good, don't you?
I do. Sometimes.
Okay. Anyways, good to be back. I'm just going to be real brief. I tend to get long-winded. I was looking at some of the videos of me talking, and I noticed that when I'm talking before the mayor and council, I use a lot of phrases like, it appears that, or it seems, or, you know, in my opinion, maybe. That does sound pretty weaselly, doesn't it? You know, the intent behind doing that is to acknowledge that different people have different opinions about things, and I'm not all-knowing. But when I have a point of view about something, I'll say what I mean, and I mean what I say. It doesn't matter who's going to ask the question. Cynthia can ask me a question. You can ask me a question. It's going to be the same answer every time. So I'm going to be a little more direct. And one of the things I want to be direct about is that the action on the bag ban last session, that's going to be a disaster for the city. You guys considered some of the legal ramifications, but you did not give any thought to some of the hardball political, you know, things that we're facing. You've gone as a council and you've said to the state of Arizona, to heck with you, we're going to enforce our little ordinance whether you like it or not. And oh, by the way, There are some nice funds you've got there and some pass-through things, some tourism dollars, stuff like that. Can we have some of that money? And the state's going to say to us, well, you know, to hell with you. What's going to happen if we have a situation where the city of Bisbee and the city of Yuma and maybe, I don't know, Flagstaff is in competition for some funds and, you know, the leadership at the Senate and the leadership at the House and the governor look at it and say, well, you know, let's not even put Bisbee in this. We're going to focus on these other cities. We don't have the economic power, you know, to do this sort of thing. I mean, what are you guys thinking? You're going to lose on it eventually. And when that happens, I think that we should have something in mind for what we can do about pollution and litter. So this is interesting. Apparently, I, as a citizen, I can draft an ordinance for the council's consideration, can't I? Well, you can't answer that because that's not what you do here. So I have drafted an ordinance. I tried to use the best font that I could to match what the city does. And the ordinance basically, well, I petition the mayor and city council in the city of Bisbee because the littering ordinance does not adequately and clearly address the fact that cigarettes and cigarette butts, when not disposed of properly or when thrown from vehicles, are litter, nor does it address the fact that single-use carry-out bags, when not disposed of properly, are also litter. So I have a signature, mine, that's all I need, and I've attached the ordinance and all the other attachments, what it would say, and maybe that was put some teeth into it that we can do something about litter and make people who are littering responsible, you know, for the plastic bag problem and deal with it that way. So who do I hand this to? I hold you all in the highest regard. Please understand that just because we have a debate about the issues doesn't mean that there needs to be anger and acrimony. That's the purpose of the city council, is to have debate. It's not about being divisive. And at the end of the day, each and every one of you needs to understand that you represent every citizen that you represent in your wards and as mayor, not just the people who voted for you and not just the people, you know, who support you on a particular issue. You represent all of us, and I have confidence that you're going to continue to represent all of us. And please, I do hold you in the highest esteem. That's why I took the time to chew you out a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric Bonner. Next, we have Bill Fisher.
Bill Fisher from 103 Star Avenue. I'm here for the same reason, for a similar reason, or at least the same issue. And I basically, I've talked to my representative, Gene, and thanked him for his action. And I want to thank the council for their action and those particularly, of course, who voted the way they did at the last meeting. I left before the bag ban business came up, and I was so anxious to say my piece. I came here yesterday at 7 o'clock to do it and realized it wasn't Tuesday. So anyway, thank you very much. You're on the right track as far as I'm concerned, and I appreciate all your efforts and the courage that it took to do what the council did. Thank you.
Bill Fisher, thank you. Next, we will have Peter von Gunlock.
Mayor and Council, citizens,
name is Peter von Gunlock, 327 McLaren Avenue. There are two things I wanted to mention this evening. One of them is in regards to something that's pretty close to my heart, which is the USS Liberty, which had been attacked 48 years ago in El Arish off the Sinai Peninsula by one of our allies with the purpose of killing everybody aboard and sinking the ship. I won't go into any further detail other than recommend that if you're interested in this story, it's history, it's very important to a lot of people, go to ussliberty.org or just go to Wikipedia, and the whole story is there, and you can review their viewpoints on it. The second issue that I'm bringing up is I've been in touch with the company that's providing us with the inverters, and apparently another inverter has failed. So we've had four inverters fail in 4 months out of 12 that are actually used or being overloaded. There are a total of 17 inverters, five of which are underloaded, and 12 of which are overloaded. And as a result, we've had now a fourth failure. What's kind of significant and interesting about this inverter failure is the fact that the company has not received a single damaged inverter in return since January. So they can't do the forensic analysis on it. For some reason, those inverters have not been returned yet, at least according to the service department at Power One. So they're kind of curious why we haven't returned the damaged inverters. Of course, they would do forensics on it and determine once and for all what the actual problems are with the system. My belief and other people's belief is that the system is out of balance now because we've cut out significant portions of the panels or reduced their efficiency. So what we have now is a system that is dysfunctional in a sense that it's not going to be reliable. And if we continue sending back inverters that have failed as a result of the system being defective, our warranties are not going to be honored anymore. So I think it's really important that we look at this, and I would recommend that we hire a solar electric expert, completely independent, and have them evaluate the plant, and that would put everything to rest once and for all. And we would then get a good appraisal of what's needed to bring our plant back up to industry standards, because at this moment it seems as if there's some severe structural problems within the system. Thank you.
Mr. Peter von Gundlach, thank you. Next we will go to David Smith.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor and Council. My name is David Smith. I live at 301 Cole Avenue. And I'm up here to discuss an agenda item that's going to be coming up on the Urban Land Institute. I just wanted to provide a little information, my point of view on that. The Urban Land Institute's a 501c3 nonprofit organization that was founded in 1936 with a present international membership of over 33,000 people. Its mission statement is to provide leadership in the responsible use of land and in creating and sustaining thriving communities worldwide. The ULI is committed to priorities mirroring many of those that we hear about in Bisbee, specifically exploring issues of urbanization, conservation, regeneration, land use, capital formation, and sustainable development, and advancing land use policies and design practices that represent and respect the uniqueness of both the built and natural environments. I agree with Mayor Ertley's often used description of Bisbee being a gem in the desert. Unfortunately, we're not the only town fitting this description, and we need assistance in making people realize our advantages over some of those other gems. I respectfully disagree, Mayor Ertley, with your stated belief that simple repairs in our infrastructure will result in a build it and they will come scenario. They will come when we have thriving businesses, when we have jobs, when we have long-term medical treatment, and real and financially viable reasons to choose Bisbee over those other gems. Bisbee's lost over 5% of our population in the last 4 years. We have two large storefronts empty in our major shopping center, a convenience market and gas station recently closed, and one of our most popular evening restaurants has just permanently shut its doors here in Warren. Some of us have some of the answers, and none of us have all of the answers. And that's why we must ask for and encourage assistance from organizations that are willing to provide their expertise towards our ultimate survival and the future growth of Bisbee. Instead of listening to people that don't shop in Bisbee because of a disagreement with a city ordinance and then wonder why our businesses close, we need to listen to professionals who have truly been there and done that. I've been a guest at ULI meetings, and these people are the real deal. I encourage members of the public to come and to attend the upcoming public meeting in Bisbee to hear firsthand from the professionals what they can offer us and what we can take from them to better our city. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. David Smith. Next we have Char Poirier.
It's so nice. I couldn't stay away. I'm Char Poirier. I live at 5013 West Rogers Trail in McNeil. I'm not a Bisbee resident, but I am on the Bisbee Vogue Inc. board. And I was looking over the RFP that you have out for rebranding of the city. And one of the things that I would like to impress upon the council and is that recreation in this city is something that we could also advertise. We could also put emphasis on. I think it's one of the forgotten reasons for coming to the town here. Each October, the Bisbee 1000 Great Stair Climb brings a few thousand people into Old Bisbee who fall in love with the event and the town. They come for the challenge and the fun. They form friendships that last for years, and the Bisbee 1000 brings them together year after year. Some return and buy property or rent properties as snowbirds. I know that Mr. Miller sends out a newsletter. I don't know if it's weekly or biweekly, but he's a very skilled writer. And he explained in his newsletter that he wanted to focus on the markets in Tucson and Phoenix, that's where the lodging tax money should go. I tend to disagree with that. I think that our winter migration spans the nation and Canada. Therefore, it's difficult to understand the reasoning of the suggestion that the city should spend money only in the Tucson and Phoenix market. Over 500,000 Canadians visit Arizona each year. In 2011, Canadian visitors spent an estimated $816 million in the state of Arizona. Bisbee is at its best when there are events to attract visitors. The Bisbee 1000, the Bisbee Blues Festival, Bisbee Pride all have one thing in common, the people who come out from out of town to spend the weekend for that event. These are the reasons visitors make Bisbee an overnight destination. There has to be things for people to do in order to keep them here. While the art galleries and novel shops provide some distraction, and some of the restaurants add to the charm, and the nightlife provides a window into some of our local talent, it is not enough for today's traveler who looks for more amenities than those offered at our local lodging. And there are other types of recreation which already exist here. Chuck Sherman has the bicycle rental shop. There are a number of day tours that are focused on the center of Bisbee. They spread out from Bisbee. And we at Bisbee Vogue, our original mission, in fact, was when it started 25 years ago, was to build or help form a recreation center. We are now in that process. We have agreed to forward a certain amount of money in trying to create a recreation center, which would be in the San Jose district. But we really don't want to look at it as one ward versus another ward. We see Bisbee as a whole. We do not see it as Ward 1, Ward 2, and Ward 3. It's Bisbee as a whole. And this recreation center, which Serena Sullivan was invited to attend with us to look at the old middle school, we're looking to turn that into an attraction in that it provides some of those amenities that we don't have at the lodging. They can be provided through this center, recreation center, based on like the Y model. We think that that these amenities would be an attraction for everybody that comes here, for the snowbirds that stay here, and for people in general that live in our community that really don't have a place to go and swim, indoors. They don't have kids don't have a place to play soccer. There are a lot of things that we think the city would benefit from through this recreation center. And so that's why we think that recreation is one of the things that should be promoted in the town. It's not just our event. It's all the other things. There's hiking that we have around here. And now Freeport MacMoran is offering possibly to open up some more land to public hiking. So we need to look at all the areas and of entertainment. It's more than just grabbing a room and getting a breakfast. We've got to have things that will keep drawing people back here and back here. By the recreation center, we can hold tournaments. We can involve other counties, other cities, other states. I mean, this could grow into something that would be very productive for the city and very productive for all the residents here. That could help control tax increases, improve the community. We have some dreams, and they do seem like a dream. But if you don't dream them, and if you don't start trying to weave the tapestry of it, then you're not going to get anywhere. Nothing's going to get done. So that's our plans. But once again, I just would like to say that to make sure that recreation is added as a reason to come to Bisbee and as part of the rebranding effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Char Poirier. Next we have Greg Jones.
Sorry. Greg Jones, 963 Highway 92. Hello. I just moved here from Prescott. I'm aware I have 3 minutes. I have an idea. Bisbee's a great place. Bisbee has great energy. Bisbee is obviously needing to bolster things that are beginning to fall down. Since the day I drove in here 2 months ago, I've had this vision, and I have it every time I drive the road. Those big concrete round things. Okay, those are the world's largest flower pots. They're the world's largest. I already checked. The world's largest is some phony-looking setup in Tokyo with plastic flowers sticking out. Those three concrete bases, I'm sure would cost a fortune to demo and remove, and I'm sure they wouldn't cost a thing, comparatively anyway. I'm an ex-carpenter. To turn them into the appearance of three flower pots. That's one idea. Ah, Bisbee, it's the place with those gigantic flower pots. Okay, they're visible from several vantage points as you drive into town. Right now, they're very visible. They're not particularly inspiring. If the mining company, who I assume owns them, were to gift them to the town, and the town were to have a contest among the local contractors, carpenters, architects, artists, to simply transform the three big concrete things, which must be 100 feet in diameter, they're giant. They'd be the biggest flower pots in the world. Roadside attraction is what we're talking about to a great extent. Funky artistic stuff is what we're talking about, it seems to me, walking around Bisbee. Now I'm going to get to the good part. Okay, so if we can get the land, turn them into three giant flower pots, then you just got three giant flower pots. What if we held a competition among engineers, architects, solar people to fill those three flower pots with two-scale flowering cactuses? Imagine the impact of 50-foot-high prickly pear in blossom made out of wood, metal, ceramic, whatever, would make as you pull up to Bisbee. It would be magnificent. It would be artistic. It would be funky. It would be using land very well that isn't probably being used great right now. And that's my idea. And I don't want to do it. I'm a semi-retired carpenter and postman. I sell books on Amazon. But that's my vision. I don't know if it's the least bit feasible. I don't know the politics or the geopolitics involved. But that's my idea. And I hope maybe somebody will give it some consideration. I think it would really enhance Bisbee and in no way harm anybody. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Greg Jones, and welcome to Bisbee.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We next have Roland, and I hope I say your last name right, Aranjo. Roland, are you in here? I don't think he is. Next we'll go to item number one, the accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $324,232.15.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any comments? No comments. We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $324,232.15. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, items A through D, and I will read those. A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council held on March 17, 2015 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the minutes of the special session of the Mayor and Council held on May the 11th, 2015 at 5:30 p.m. C, approval of an amended park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of several streets for the Coaster Race trial runs on June 6th, June 20th, and June 27th, and for the coaster races on July the 4th, 2015. D, approval of the special event liquor license application submitted by the community Montessori School in Bisbee Incorporated for an event to be held at 1900 South Naco Highway, Bisbee, on Saturday, June the 27th, 2015, from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. Dan Fry, applicant. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through D.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda, items A through D. Any other comments? No other comments? Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Eartley?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, discussion of possible approval of ordinance O-15-03, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property parcel, a portion of lots 233, 234, 235, and 236, and a portion of the public right-of-way in block 26 of Bisbee Town site located on Adams Avenue near 5B Moon Canyon, and we will refer over to the city attorney, Elda Orduño.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. It's my understanding that this agenda item was discussed at length at the last City Council meeting, and that the agenda item for tonight, it simply serves to read, to have a second reading of the ordinance.
Thank you very much. Any comments or questions from the Council? Do we have a motion?
I move we approve Ordinance 01503, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property, a portion of lots 233, 234, 235, 236, and a portion of the public right-of-way in Block 26 of the Bisbee Town site located on Adams Avenue near 5B Moon Canyon.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second. Any questions from the Council? No? Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Nay.
Mayor Eartley?
Aye. Motion passes 4-2. Item number four, presentation on the Urban Land Institute Forum that will be held on June the 9th, 2015. And I will defer to Councilmember Doug Dunn.
Thank you. I am the liaison, Council liaison to the iBisbee Committee. The iBisbee Committee was established by the Mayor and Council, and it certainly identifies ways by which the city can become proactive in the area of economic development, whether it's that of creating additional jobs in the community, growing the economy so we have a greater tax base, taking action in terms of providing needs in the community, certainly the most recent one is work towards attracting an assisted living facility here. A month ago, the iBisbee committee submitted their annual report to the council, and I certainly, those who are listening, viewing, I would certainly encourage viewers to go on the website and read the iBisbee report. You can get a copy, if you wish, a hard copy at the clerk's office. It outlines the actions of the iBisbee committee over the last year, what its goals are, what they see as some opportunities. And one of those opportunities is the Urban Land Institute Forum that is scheduled for June 9th. And so I'd like to, at this point, introduce you to Stanley Stern, who is president of the iBisbee committee, to review this outline, what is being planned.
Thank you, Councilman Dunn, Mayor and Council. My name is Stanley Stern. I chair the iBisbee Committee, and I reside at 66 Mojave Drive in Ward 3. The iBisbee Committee has been working for about 7 months with the Urban Land Institute. The Urban Land Institute is the think tank and trade association of the major developers and home builders throughout the world. It has an Arizona chapter that is comprised of the leading developers and home builders in our state. They have a program to assist communities in economic development. Most of their communities that they have worked with over the years have been in the Phoenix area. And a number of the mayors in the Phoenix area have commented about the value of the Urban Land Institute. On June 9, at approximately 9:15 to 9:30, the Urban Land Institute will commence a panel discussion in the council chambers to discuss areas of interest for our community and the possible development of our community. Working with the Urban Land Institute, the IBISB committee formulated a series of areas for discussion. Our long-term goal was the long-term economic stability of BISB while maintaining our quality of life. The areas of discussion are tourism, industrial and business development, housing, with emphasis on low-cost housing and new housing, and also a look-see at the problem of the existing vacant homes in BISB. The fourth item is health care, and the fifth is agriculture. The agricultural one is looking at the 80 acres of land at the airport that the city owns as a possible idea for agriculture. The panel that the ULI has given us is extremely good. It will be led by an economist and an economic development expert and will be composed of developers, finance experts, tourism experts, housing. We have the head of the state housing board coming on the panel. We do plan to discuss with him low-income housing and also agriculture. And the agricultural one is a professor of the practice from the University of Arizona. We think that the day, which will start at about 9:15 to 9:30, will be very interesting and will give us some insight from experts in various areas. After the panel discussion is through, we'll then determine how well we received it. I'm open to questions from the council.
You may not have the answer. I'm kind of curious on the 80 acres. Agriculture, what might we grow there?
Hydroponics is what this expert is on. We'll have to see what he says.
Okay. I don't know much about that subject. Sure.
That's growing plants on poles.
Okay. Any other questions from the council?
We will look forward to seeing, hopefully the members of the council can attend at least a portion of this panel discussion. I know some of you are going to be joining us for an informal dinner the night before, and we look forward to having you.
Councilmember Dunn, did you want to close off?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Stan Stern, thank you very much. Appreciate your presentation. Item number 5 has been pulled from the agenda. item number 6, discussion of possible approval authorizing the Bisbee Police Department to engage Edwards and Ginn PC law firm for purposes of developing a new departmental policy manual. Albert Echavi, Chief of Police.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, staff. We have, myself, the city manager, and Ms. Cindy Moss, personnel, have been discussing for quite some time the police policy manual and the need to update it and to stay current with our policies and procedures, both to protect the officers and to protect the city from accusations or officers that are making the wrong decision because they don't have the proper policies to follow. We reached out through the risk pool to try to get some guidance on some assistance in developing a new policy manual, and they referred us to a consultant that they use quite often out of Phoenix by the name of Dan Sabin, and he came down and met with us, and he looked over our policy manual, and he agreed that there are some deficiencies currently in that area. We weighed several options, and the recommendation from him, and we agreed that the best direction is to contract with the law firm, Edward and Ginn, to have them provide us with the policy manual. There are several agencies within the state that utilizes the same law firm for policy manuals, to include Douglas Police Department, Safford Police Department, Paradise Valley, Prescott, several of these agencies use this same process. And so we feel that for the price and having a up-to-date, legally current policy manual, this is the best way to go. This will also it also provides each individual officer with a minimum of 20 hours of post-credited training, daily training that comes along with this. So that if we just purchased that process by itself, would cost us $1,400. But because we're purchasing the policy manual, if we do that, training comes free of charge, included with the policy manual. So that feels we feel very, very strongly about that. I personally spoke to a few officers at the Douglas Police Department. In fact, that's how I became aware of this law firm. They're the ones that turned us on to it. And they were really satisfied. They were really happy with the training that's provided by them. And that's kind of what got us into this direction. We have spoke with Dan. He is a retired chief of police from Buckeye, Arizona. He is also a command level officer with the Mesa Police Department prior to that, and he's had a lot of experience in writing new policies for both those agencies, and he has offered his services to us to come back and assist us to ensure that we have a policy that is tailored to meet our needs here in Bisbee, he's offered, and we've actually set an appointment. If this is approved, he will be here on the 15th of June to sit down with us and go over to ensure that we are doing everything correctly.
It is my understanding that this policy manual hasn't been updated for a few years.
It hasn't been updated. There's been small updates and changes, paragraphs here and there over the years, but those have been few and far between. And, you know, we were fortunate that we do have a little bit of money in the RICO account, and that's what we're asking to use to purchase this is RICO funds, and it is $4,500. I will say that I did do a little bit of research. I talked to the Sheriff's Department. They use a different company, but they also contracted and purchased a policy manual, and they use a national company based out of California. I contacted them. And the price for their manual was $4,900 for the first year. Each additional year after that for the updates that are provided was $4,500. Going through with the law firm, their price is $4,500 for the first year. They'll give us the updates for $1,700 every year after that. So it's quite a bit cheaper. And they are a local Arizona law firm. They made their careers with both the Phoenix Police Department and the Tucson Police Department. So they're very in touch with the problems of Arizona and have captured some of those issues in their policy manual to include SB 1070, body worn cameras. You know, that's obviously a direction we're looking at, and that already, they have that in there already. So we'll be able to tailor that, hone it to our exact needs.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Hansen.
Mayor, you took my question.
Oh.
But I do just want to comment that I really appreciate Chief Enchave's initiative in getting this manual updated. But what I really appreciate is the tacked-on training, because I think that is just so vital. Absolutely. And the fact that it's a different scenario for every day for a year is just tremendous. I think that, thank you very much for doing that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Councilmember Dunn?
Yes, I likewise commend you and your initiative here. I'm reading this contract. I had a little bit of confusion whether we're getting a boilerplate or whether it says here, let's see, let me read it. It says, agency will need to customize the material to reflect the local procedures and unique situations, and certainly in Bisbee we have a lot of unique situations. To what extent will this will they be engaged with the department in terms of addressing those uniquenesses? Are we getting just the standard
operating procedure. We are getting a standard legally current to the laws the way they are today. Legally current blanket policy, so to speak, that covers a wide array of things, and that's where the assistance from Mr. Sabin with Trident Security coming in and spending 8 hours on the 15th with us to go through that policy manual, bringing his expertise from both Mesa Police Department and Buckeye Police Department to fine-tune the policy that we get to meet the needs of the city. Of course, after that's all complete, then we will look to our city attorney to review and make sure that we are that the changes that we made don't affect the legality of the policy, and that make sure that it matches the spirit of what we're looking to accomplish here.
It also is your intent that it talks about an annual fee that we're contracting them on an annual basis to update, which is $1,750, as well as the additional $1,400 for continuing the training program. That is something that you're anticipating we would be doing on an annual basis.
I would love to see that happen on an annual basis. It's not a contract. We're not locked in. We don't have to agree to that now. I spoke with Mr. Edwards on the phone today, and I've spoke to his partner, Beverly Ginn, on the phone over the last couple months in the past. And they're willing to work with us as far as, you know, how we had to make arrangements. As soon as we have approval, they're willing to ship us down what they have. It comes in a Word document, so it's pretty simple, but they'll get that to us. I would love to foresee that, but part of that's going to come down to the budget. If we have the funds in RICO account to cover that, then I would without a doubt be coming to you then with the hopes to continue the relationship with them and contract for those services. But it's all going to depend on where we're sitting with that account.
Again, I commend you for your initiative on this, and I do think there is opportunities to address the uniquenesses of Bisbee as we engage into this. So, but we certainly, this is something that's been missing for a long time, so yes. I applaud you.
Yes, thank you.
Councilmember Sullivan, did you have a comment?
I do. Thank you. Also, I would like to commend Mrs. Moss and Mr. Johnson and Chief Achave for being proactive on this. I think it's really wonderful that you're taking the initiative to go ahead and update these policies. However, I would like to see it done without the use of an agency, an external agency. I would rather see our policies taken and we do the homework ourselves and save the cost, and we know how to update it every year and just stay on top of it rather than incurring yet another expense. In addition, we do have our attorneys that can help us with making sure everything is within the law. And I think it's very important now that we're thinking of taking a look at these policies that we have an open discussion with the community so that we can have policies that reflect what our community wants to see out of the police force that they are paying for with their taxes. I think that's very important, and it's been expressed a lot, especially recently, and I think it's a great opportunity for us to work together and really come up with something that's going to make people happy with what they're getting, with the services they're getting. So that's all.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Klein, Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Again, like everybody else, I commend you, Chief, for moving forward and updating our policies. We get comfortable and continue the way we are, and I've seen you make some really positive changes in our department, and so I appreciate that, and I'm glad that we are moving forward. And I think just for clarification, though, this is coming out of RICO funds, so it's not coming out of our budget or taxpayer dollars, and that's what our RICO funds are for. So I'm glad that they're being put to good use. So thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
I have one other question.
Councilmember Sullivan.
The only other thing I would like to point out is just that this firm has their experience working with Phoenix and Tucson, which are both very large urban areas, very different from Bisbee and being directly on the border and what we're dealing with here. So, again, I just don't think that it's necessary, but I do see your point with the RICO funds. So it's not costing us anything. But I still would like to emphasize, if we do use the firm, that the community should be involved in at least having some input.
And
Councilman Sullivan.
Mr. City Manager, yes, did you have a comment?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Councilman Sullivan. And I really do appreciate your comments, and certainly I hear and feel where you're coming from. Although the principals of this particular firm have their background, they cut their teeth in Phoenix and Tucson, the emphasis that was placed when we were doing our homework is what other agencies, comparable size communities, have you worked with? And I don't think it gets any closer to the border than Douglas. You know, and so having the experience of working with a community like Douglas, you know, a similar community like a Safford and even Prescott, so to speak, it's a little different. I think the variation in the types of communities that this particular firm has worked with and for and has served, quite frankly, I see a lot of benefit. And I do appreciate your comment as it relates to the cost. We have a document, we're speculating here, that was probably written back in the very early to mid-80s. And so the time, the level of effort that it would take for us to get in there and try to update a policy with what the chief has on his plate and the other offices, it's a lot of work. And so the idea of the annual updates, you know, spending 15, or I can't think of a number off the top of my head, spending that amount of money, because so much can change with the state legislature year after year after year, there may be a situation, you know, if we're monitoring a hearing and we're hearing from the League of Arizona Cities and Towns, from whatever committee that would be appropriate to police, that there's nothing happening. There's no reason to change. But if there is a lot of movement, you know, something's happening at the state level where a boatload of changes are coming forward for our police department, I really do believe that it'll be really beneficial for us down the road, because we certainly don't want to be in a position where, you know, we're following our policy and we did everything by the book, but the law changed and we weren't paying attention. You know, and so, and that can be quite a challenge, to be perfectly honest with you. And so, and I'm certainly very appreciative of the chief and what he's put forth in trying to do his homework as it relates to that.
Definitely.
So I just wanted to share that with you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I didn't hear before that you said Douglas was also one of the...
Yes, actually, Douglas, Clifton Police Department, which is a very small agency, Eloy, Coolidge, Prescott, Paradise Valley, Surprise, Avondale, Safford, and Sedona are all just a few to name that he was able to just give me over the phone. And I just want to say as well, the policy manual has had small updates over the years. You know, when the council authorized us to go to tasers, we had to develop a policy to cover that. So that was done, that was implemented. But it was just that policy was modified a little bit to cover that. But an overall overhaul of the policy manual hasn't happened. And when I first promoted to the position of sergeant, patrol sergeant, I made an honest effort to try to sit down and look at rewriting the policy manual. And not even just rewriting, but just trying to update the policies that we had. And I quickly learned how time-consuming that it is, because the research that's involved and the verbiage and making sure everything is right, it was truly a nightmare, and I didn't have the time or the ability to do my normal daily activities and also do this as well. And so that is the biggest benefit. But I want you to know that we've tried to do it ourselves. And we just, it is a big, you know, the policy manual, to my understanding, that we get is close to around 300 pages that they send us. And it's very detailed, to include some procedural issues in accordance with law. So, you know, the hope is, if I assign somebody permanent just all day long to write the policy, we could probably get it done in 6 months to 8 months, versus with this plan, hopefully by the end of July, we can have a finished product and it in place and on the street. And that is the one benefit with paying the money. It's hard. I kind of have a hard time with that too, but it is so important. That's my impression. We do definitely need it.
Yeah, Mayor.
Councilmember Dunn.
I think that once we have, we really need to get the law and the and be current here in terms of the practice of, yes, of law. And certainly as we move into the second year and think about the second year contract, then I think in terms of more involvement of the community, it certainly might be appropriate in looking at this. And then are there things that are inconsistent with BSBY? We certainly need to foremost be current in terms of the state law and yes, the practice of law enforcement, the science of law enforcement. So good job.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council? No? Do we have a motion?
I move. Where are we here? I move approval authorizing the police department to engage Edward and Jin PC Law Firm for purposes of developing a new department policy manual.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other thoughts? No other thoughts? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously.
Item number 7, discussion of possible approval, authorizing the sale of surplus vehicles and surplus miscellaneous items at public auction on June the 13th, 2015 at 9 a.m. And once again, Chief.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, staff. Hopefully this one this will be a little quicker. We have gotten ready, and I apologize, this coming to you as late as it is. That was kind of a snafu on my part. but we wanted to get the get these vehicles that we had, even though there's not very many. We wanted to get everything we had surplus auctioned and gotten rid of as quickly as we could before the end of the fiscal year. And so this is what we have right now. A lot of these vehicles are wrecked. They're not running. They've been in accidents. They were towed to the lot. The owners never picked them up. Or the owners just, in some cases, just came in and signed them over, signed the titles over to the department because they didn't want to deal with it anymore. So we're looking to get rid of these surplus vehicles. Some of the vehicles do run, and hopefully we'll bring in a little extra money for the general fund. And there is some miscellaneous stuff on there as well. A year or two ago, we purchased new chairs at the police department, and a lot of the older chairs have been sitting in storage under a tarp at the police station. We're going to try to get rid of those, and some old bicycles that have been in the lot for over a year now that nobody's ever claimed. We just want to kind of clean house a little bit and get rid of some of the surplus stuff.
I just have one question. It seems to me that in the years past, there was a significantly larger amount of automobiles or vehicles that was auctioned off, and I was out of the loop for a certain period of time. What happened?
I will say this being a city auction and not a Rico auction, that's one part of it. So the vehicles that we bring in, We do bring in a lot of vehicles for impound, whether they be for the driver was arrested for DUI or a traffic violation, or the vehicle was involved in an accident and it's towed to the impound lot. There are fees associated with that we charge to the owners of the vehicles when they come to pick them up. We charge an administrative fee of $100, a daily fee of $15, and then the owner of the vehicle is billed the tow bill. Whatever tow company that tows that into our yard, the owner covers the cost of that as well. So in some cases, after the vehicles, if they're not worth very much, have been there for a while, the owner doesn't want to pay money to take them, so they leave them there. But in most cases, people come in within a day or two, a week, and they pay those fees, and they pick up their vehicles. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me right now, but I've been told today, as a matter of fact, that we have done quite well as far as the fees that we've collected through impound, more so than we expected to collect. So that part is good. But unfortunately, the cars that are left behind nowadays are vehicles that are wrecked and pretty much nobody wants it. We'll end up selling for scrap, or if somebody has a car that they need a part off of, they can buy the car cheap and have the parts vehicle, basically.
Have any other question from the council?
I have one.
Councilmember Sullivan.
We received a message late today from a resident, part-time resident, suggesting that maybe we keep a couple of vehicles for airport traveling, commute, to bring people into town from the airport. I know that that's been brought up by this individual many times. I was just curious if we do have, if any of those vehicles are worth keeping for such a use.
I would say, and this has been a conversation that I've been part of a few times, and I know the city attorney at the time was very leery of doing this for the liability reasons that it puts upon the city. But right now, the vehicles that we have, I don't think the best ones we had, we tried to put where they're needed. We had a vehicle that was turned over to the animal shelter because they need to transport animals to and from the hospital. So we had a vehicle that was decent shape. We were able to put that into service there. And there are vehicles that we still need within the city that unfortunately the vehicles that we're auctioning don't meet that. I mean, they're just too old and they're just too far gone. So we really don't have anything that would fit that criteria in this type of auction. And unfortunately, the recall auction, we don't have the ability anymore to take a recall vehicle and give it to somebody. If they want it, that department would actually have to go and bid on it just like everybody else in the recall auction. So.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to authorize the sale of surplus vehicles and surplus miscellaneous items at public auction on June 13, 2015 at 9 a.m.
Second.
You second? We have a motion and a second. Any other comments from the council? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Chief Ashavi.
Thank you, sir.
Item number 8, discussion of possible approval to direct the city attorney to draft a correction to the warranty deed recorded on February the 28, 2001, conveying the real estate commonly known as the Turquoise Valley Golf Club, to remove that clause that the property conveyed herein shall be used solely and exclusively as a golf course, and I will refer to Elda Orduño,
the city attorney.
Yes, Mayor and Council. The purpose of this agenda item is to assist or accommodate Turquoise Valley Incorporated and Mr. Peter Lawson in advancing the ability to sell the property, the golf course. As it currently stands, there is a reversion clause in the contract which states that if the golf course is to be used for anything outside of a golf course, the property is to revert back to the original owners. In order to sell the property, it's easier for buyers to obtain financing if the reversion clause is not in the contract. And because of that, Mr. Lawson has requested that the city amend the warranty deed to take out that clause. Originally, I believe prior to Britt Hansen as city attorney, the prior council had recommended getting a release from all of the heirs of the prior owner because that company is no longer in existence. However, it was very difficult to get those signatures, the releases from the heirs. So City Attorney Britt Hansen recommended that he recommended an indemnity provision, meaning that so as to protect the city from any suit based on the reversion clause, Mr. Lawson's company, Turquoise Valley Incorporated, and himself personally, as well as anybody that purchases the property, would agree to indemnify, defend, and hold harmless the city if an action is ever brought under the reversion clause. There was a new development today. Mr. Hansen received an email from, I believe, Peter Lawson, stating that they had received signatures of all the heirs for the Newell and Hughes families. So they've received all of the releases. And Mr. Lawson asked that as part of the motion that Mr. Hansen recommended, Mr. Lawson asked that we remove Condition 1 and Condition 3 because he received all of the signed releases. Condition 1 is that removal of the clause shall apply only to the auction of said real estate to be held on June 13, 2015. And Condition 3 is that the auction to be held on June 13, 2015, the seller shall announce to all bidders that the successful bidder shall indemnify, defend, and hold harmless the city from and against any and all suits, actions, legal, administrative proceedings, claims, or demands on all costs attendant thereto arising out of any change in the sole and exclusive use of said real estate as a golf course. So Mr. Lawson has requested that that if this agenda item is improved with the conditions, that conditions 1 and 3 be eliminated so that he is only responsible for indemnifying, defending the city of Bisbee should a reversion claim be made. And he's basing that on the releases. We have not, the city attorney's office has not had an opportunity to review and validate the releases, to verify signatures and things of that nature. Like I said, we received the notice today, and we haven't seen the releases. I believe somebody was going to be here from Turquoise Valley to provide the releases. So at this point, the mayor and council has presented with a motion that Brett Hansen had prepared with the three conditions. But please keep in mind that Mr. Lawson is asking that conditions 1 and 3 be removed. If you have any questions for me.
Any questions from the council? Councilmember Hansen.
Go ahead.
Well, what happens if we approve all three of the stipulations? I mean, what difference does it make? I guess I'm asking.
Really, I don't think it really changes anything, except for that whoever purchases the property will have a duty to defend, indemnify, in case a suit is brought on the reversion provision. I think that because Mr. Lawson received all of the releases, he's trying to accommodate any new purchaser, because that's something that a new purchaser would have to consider. It's definitely something that will impact a purchaser's decision on the golf course. So that's why he's asking to remove that condition, and also to remove condition 1, because it will affect a purchaser's decision on whether or not to buy the golf course.
And how long will it take to verify the signatures?
Honestly, I do not know. I don't know how many releases were received. I haven't received them. I haven't seen them.
So basically, we would not be, if we vote on this today or tonight, we would need to have all three of those in there, because we don't know what the status of the signatures
is. It certainly protects the city of Bisbee more than just having one indemnity provision in which Turquoise Valley and Mr. Lawson indemnify. You have double coverage. And, you know, the city attorney's office has not verified Mr. Lawson or Turquoise Valley's assets, whether or not they would even have the assets to provide for indemnification. And that's certainly true for any purchaser. We don't know who's going to buy. So even though we've offered an indemnity provision, there's still a question as to whether they have the assets to indemnify anyway. But it's certainly at least a provision in there that should protect the city, that at least we hope it would.
Mr. P. Campbell, do you want to say a few things?
I certainly can, and I'll try to keep it brief.
You don't have to be brief.
okay, I'll just state it very quickly.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pete Campbell. I am one of many hardworking staff members at Turquoise Valley Golf Course. And I must say you did an excellent job, counselor, at describing a very complicated series of events that occurred without your ever being here. The only thing
thank
I would
you.
Say, you're welcome, thank you. The only thing I would say is, as I understand, I think Peter actually asked for the removal of points one and two, that the clause, point one being that the clause shall apply only to the real estate auction occurring on June 13th, and point two, the clause where Peter would be indemnifying the city. However, I believe, well, what's happened since is the two most salient, most interested, and local descendants or assigns of the NACO real estate company happen to be Jane and Susan Ridgway, and they've conducted hours of work and amazing research and tracked down, I don't know, 8, maybe 10 signatures of assigns of the original company. And what had happened is the company dissolved probably, 70 years ago?
The late 30s,
okay, so quite a while ago, about 70, 75 years ago. But for the purpose of this vote, and I don't know if you all have a copy of what Britt wrote out or if you just had it repeated for you, but for the purposes of this vote, you really need not consider these signatures. The verbiage that that our county attorney put in, or our acting city attorney at the time, was to allow a little bit more leverage to make a sale, to facilitate a sale in the absence of signatures. We have signatures, they're not verified, but it's a few steps farther down the road to satisfy the city and any future to satisfy the city first that the assigns of the NACO Real Estate Company will not go after the property of the golf course. I hope I haven't confused you. I probably have. Point being, it's kind of moot. We have signatures. We can get more signatures probably. And Peter, at the last moment, tried to ask that perhaps his name be released from indemnifying the city because there will be a new owner at the time, and the new owner is going into this purchase eyes wide open, and she or he or they will know about the reversion clause, and they will in turn honor any legal restrictions that are on the land, or they will indemnify the city. All that being said, it's a little late. It's 11th hour right now. I think Peter's comfortable with you voting on this release exactly as Britt worded it.
So. Okay, but we will not do one and two of the amendments. Is that correct,
Mayor? If I may,
I think you can.
I have the email from Pete Lawson. It says, "Thanks, Britt. I'd like to see points one and three removed, but I'm comfortable if that's not possible. I will accept responsibility for any future claims from the Newell family." So that's a paragraph related to that. So that's why I said one and three, because his email specifically said one and three. But he also goes on to say that he's okay if you approve the motion as is.
Okay.
Yeah, so go for it.
Okay.
I think they just want to see it approved.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
Well, I just...
Okay, go ahead. No,
cause one is just, we're approving this solely for the auction on June 13th. Is that correct?
That's how it reads to me.
Right. That seemed odd to me that if you were not successful at that auction, you'd have to come back to us again, get approval to engage in other sale or other offer.
And thus I would imagine that would be why he would be interested in having that removed. But all things considered, I think he's willing to not change this at the last moment or not run the risk of throwing out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. I think he'd rather just have it passed as written than run the risk of it not passing at all. And that, to that end, I think he expects that it will sell by June 13th.
by or on June 13th.
Councilmember Sullivan, did you have a question?
No. I'll make a motion when it's time. I move that the City of Bisbee direct the City Attorney to draft the mayor to sign a correction to the warranty deed recorded on February 28, 2001 as document number 01020-5525, conveying the real estate commonly known as the Turquoise Valley Golf Club, to remove the clause that the property conveyed herein shall be used solely and exclusively as a golf course on the following without the following conditions. So I move that we exclude at least items 1 and 3.
Did you just say without?
Mm-hmm.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Councilman McClain, did you? We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
The nays have it. Motion fails.
May we have a motion for this as Britt wrote it out with the three mm-hmm. with the three caveats with points 1, 2, and 3 included?
I believe that motion included that. Let me refer to the city attorney, Ms. Orduño.
I think it's important to clarify because if you disprove it as recommended by Serena Sullivan, there's still the question that, well, did they just deny it flatly and they don't make a decision at all, or are they approving it with conditions 1, 2, and 3? It's not clear. So I would suggest that you word it. If you're going to word it the way Serena did and you've already voted, you probably need to state specifically what exactly the result you want in the record. So if you want it, if your nays mean that you want the motion approved as written by Britt Hansen, I just think somebody needs to make that clear on the record.
Mm-hmm. Council member.
No, I would just like to hear. If
no, I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if she had something.
I'm not sure what I'm asking for.
If you
my
are all
main
in
vote was I wanted all three of the conditions in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do we have a different motion?
I would go ahead and do the different motion just to make it simple.
I'll try it. I move that the city direct the city attorney to draft and the mayor to sign a correction to the warranty deed recorded on February 28, 2001 as document number 01020-5525, conveying the real estate commonly known as the Turquoise Valley Golf Club, to remove the clause that the property conveyed herein shall be used solely and exclusively as a golf course on the following conditions, and those conditions would be 1, 2, and 3.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other thoughts? Councilmember Klein.
I just have a question for our city attorney. I think those of us that voted nay the first time know why we did, but as far as procedure goes, anytime we as a council vote something in or vote something down, we don't immediately turn around and vote on something else again, and I think that procedure that we're doing right now is incorrect, and that we would have to wait until the either to have a special session or to wait until the next council meeting.
I understand your point, Council. And it just may be my misunderstanding. I think the reason I gave that recommendation is because I believe the intent of the mayor and council was to approve the motion originally provided to you all. And certainly if you as a council feel you need to go into a special session on this, you are able to.
Well, I think that we know the intention, and yes. However, the procedure, that's
right.
I want to make sure that we are and I don't believe that we are if we turn around and vote on it immediately again.
Immediately.
Because we've already voted the item down, and if we need to have a special session on it, with 24-hour notice or whatever, so be it.
That's so fine. I agree. I think I agree. I don't know who wants to talk.
Well, may I just make a point that the item that was voted down was not the item that was placed on the agenda. I'm just hoping that we can have a motion or a voting on the actual item that was placed on the agenda appropriate to decorum.
Once again, Ms. Orduño, a lot of issues come up before different governing bodies, County Board of Supervisors, Mayor Council.
Yes.
And it seems to me that sometimes there are different motions on different issues. One might fail, one might pass. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we do remember we do have a motion and a second on the floor. So my suggestion is that we proceed. Any other comments or questions from the council? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Nay. Motion passes 4-2, I believe.
Does the city care for the signatures that have been collected at the moment, or just...
Seems like kind of a moot point, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. However, while I have the podium, I would like to say something about our police chief. Alberto Chavez is a guy who appears to be approximately 10 years or younger than I am. He comports himself with the dignity of a gentleman who's probably 20 years of greater experience than I. And I hear people all the time telling me that after 15, 16, 17 years of the golf course, they really enjoyed watching me grow up and become who I am. It's really been a pleasure to watch this man grow up and become the man and the leader that he is, and I applaud him greatly.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Item number 9. Discussion of possible approval of an intergovernmental agreement between the State of Arizona and the City of Bisbee for the collection and administration of the transaction privilege and affiliated excise taxes program. Mr. Justin Johnson, the City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. What you have before you is a new intergovernmental agreement sent to us by the Arizona Department of Revenue several years ago. Well, we actually received a letter back May 26, 2015 of this year, informing us that the existing IGA that we have with the Arizona Department of Revenue is going away. And so that notification informed us that July 1st, the state would look to engage with various communities, non-self-collecting communities, for services provided for the administration of the TPT, Transportation Privilege Tax Program. And so that the agreement that you have before you is just that. Several years ago, this particular department provided audit services. Those services went away, but now they are coming back. So as a point of clarity and information. So that's what you have before you. We're just simply engaging with the state of Arizona for said services.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the council?
Mayor,
Councilmember,
what is the cost of this? There is a cost you haven't mentioned.
Yes, sir. It's about $11,000, but Sharon informed me that we still need to. We're expecting to be about $11,000 for those services, and so many communities that collect for themselves, have staff associated with providing that services. But the state of Arizona said, "Hey, look, we've been providing this service before. We're bringing it back in cities. We want you to pay for it."
And clarify audits, because the state stopped doing audits. I mean, that's been our complaint with, has it not? We're desiring to do audits locally, and that staff has not been.
I think it has more to do with auditing our TPT process, our program, the collections. Being that aspect of audits, not our governmental auditing that we go through on an annual basis.
Correct.
So that's what I mean by auditing.
But services. Ensuring that there are businesses, vendors who are indeed paying due taxes is something that is a service now being offered us?
Well, I think that's up for debate. I'll let Sharon kind of jump in and chime in on that one.
We're waiting for Ms. Buono.
Good evening.
City Finance Director Sharon.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This is just the administration of the TPT program. We've always had audit services available to us, and they do some, but when the state audits, they audit at the state level, the county level, and the local level. The $11,000 that we were talking about is when the recession came, there was a bill that just passed, and part of the cutbacks is they got rid of the majority of the audits personnel. So this is reinstating that program, and it all feeds into this. There's different audit services based on whether it's a municipality tax or a state tax. And as I read through that, I saw where that is. But this is the administration of the entire sales tax program. And we really don't have an option. So this isn't anything, you know. So part of the note that they said is our IGA expired. The one that we had in place was signed in 2008. It is now expired as of June 30th. It's required under state law. This is the final negotiated contract. What happened was is they put out some requests for information from cities, and then they had through the League of Cities, Arizona League of Cities, and they negotiated this. And the people that were on the board were mostly the large ones, Tempe, Peoria, and Mesa, let alone representatives from the DOR. And they came to an agreement, and this is the agreement that is in front of you. If we don't approve the agreement, it pretty much goes into effect anyway under state law. So this is more of a formality. It is, sir, because the Arizona's Department of Revenue is responsible for administrating the transaction privilege tax program.
How actively do they get involved in audits?
You know, I have a bunch of them, and that was one of them. You know, we've had some meetings that I attended up in Phoenix, and I attended with the prior finance director for the city of Benson, and that was one of our current concerns, and we verbalized that. Are the little cities going to get as much attention as the big cities? So they are developing new forms. I just have them. What the recommendation from the state was to us was to have, if we're requesting audits, and I do have a list, that we provide it to them so when they come down and do this, it's not just for one or two. They can spend some time here. It'll be more cost effective for them. So the chargeback that Mr. Johnson was talking about is based on our population, and they really felt that they could recover those costs. So that's going to be something that I'm going to try and monitor, and then we can talk again. But if you look at this agreement, they even talk about setting up a separate fund for those monies, and they also have to give an accounting to the cities on how they spend those monies. So they are upgrading their IT system, and the financial reporting is going to be supposed to be much better. Of course, we haven't seen it yet, and they do address some of that in this IGA of what they are required to provide to the city. So we're hoping that the process gets easier and we can easily identify active business licenses and those that are remitting properly. So it's a step in the right direction as far as I'm interpreting it. But I would hate to not approve this and not have our sales tax money come in. So, I mean, that could be a real possibility. So it doesn't go into effect till July 1, so if you're not comfortable and we need to bring it back, we have one more meeting or have a work session or something, we could do that too.
Just a question. You may not know the answer to this one. Since the state seems to be strapped for cash along with most of the municipal and county governments in this state, do you think that the state is increasing the amount of auditors?
Absolutely. That's part of the requirement. Yeah. Is that they need to reestablish the staffing.
Okay.
And they have a whole division. They've developed all new forms. I have them so I can request. And it's not just requesting audits. Sales tax is such a private thing, but I can just ask a question. In other words, there's certain guidelines that require certain taxpayers to pay. Quarterly and monthly, there's all these guidelines that they have. So just because I don't see that I'm getting taxed every month, that doesn't mean that the company's not in, the taxpayer's not in compliance. But I can ask that question on the forms that they've provided, and they can respond. One of the things that, one of the guidelines in here is that once I actually do that, the state has 15 days to respond to me. So, you know, they're putting some things in there to make them hold up their side, too. So
the state auditor has worked very closely with the county and the municipal governments. Is that correct?
Well, and a lot of it was the self-collecting cities, when they were doing their audits, they were only auditing their portion. So the same taxpayer could get audited three times, one by the city, one by the county, and one by the state. So when the state took all of that back, they're going to do the whole audit, all three of them, so this taxpayer doesn't feel like they've been audited three times because everybody wants their piece of the puzzle. So the state is now responsible for covering, to monitoring that and making sure that's happened. So it's actually relief to our taxpayers.
Any other questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve intergovernmental agreement between the State of Arizona and City of Bisbee for the collection and administration of the transaction privilege and affiliated excise taxes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion, questions, remarks? No. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Buono, City of Bisbee Finance Director. Item number 10, discussion and possible approval of the disaster assistance agreement for the state proclamation for Cochise County flooding of September the 17th through the 19th, 2014, and the City of Bisbee, including the designation of the eligible authorized representative, Mr. Justin Johnson, City of Bisbee City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. As stated, you know, this is an agreement that will allow Sharon Bono, Finance Director, to sign the agreement for reimbursement purposes of the funds that the city expended from the flooding events that we had back last September. It's pretty common in talking to the emergency management team that came and spoke with us that, you know, the finance director, treasurer, is normal practice to have that individual be the signing authority for this particular program.
I have a couple of questions. It's a 25% city, 75% state agreement?
Yes, sir.
25% city match?
Yes, sir.
The other thing I was wondering is that it appears to me that the city will be reimbursed after a project is done. In other words, it looks like the city has to put up all the money at first and we reimburse later. Is that how that works?
Well, a significant portion of the work has already been done. One of the outstanding areas that we have is still Mule Gulch Channel. Mr. Heratic has taken the opportunity to work through state contracting to get a price estimate for that particular work. There's still an outstanding issue as it relates to the Army Corps of Engineers, because that is considered federal, state waters, what have you. And so there's still an outstanding issue with that. But, again, your work has already been completed. So, you know, the balance of the costs associated with, and I apologize, I don't have my notes here, the costs associated with the work that we've already been done, we'll just be requesting reimbursement of those funds that we've already expended.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the council? No. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the disaster assistance agreement for the state proclamation for Cochise County flooding of September 17 through the 19th, 2014, and designate Sharon Bono, Finance Director, as the eligible authorized representative.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other thoughts? No other thoughts. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Next, we will move to the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor. Very quickly, at our next meeting, I'll have your monthly financials for you to present. You may have seen around the city, that we are scheduled to have our first movies in the park of this year. On the 19th, the meeting will start right around dusk, going into the dark. Ms. Carnota, she's been working on a letter to try to see if we can get some support from APS as well as Freeport on the acquisition of the actual projector so that we don't have to, and we're very grateful to have the Cochise Water Project as the group that's putting this on for us, and so having the opportunity for us to acquire that actual screen and the projector and working through the library to, you know, order the movies for Movies in the Park. So we'll be looking to bring that before you all pretty soon. And other than that, that's all I have right now.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We have a motion and a
second.
To adjourn, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.